and we worship him this afternoon. We worship him all week long. We should live a lifestyle of worship, not just a Sunday morning 8:30 kind of worship, but every single day. And Dave, thank you for that song. Thank you for that reminder. And that's a tough song to sing, especially a cappella. And you know, I'm sitting there waiting for you to miss a note or something, and you did not. You were right on it. Good job, buddy. That's good stuff. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we do have this opportunity to gather corporately in this place to lift up your name, to worship you. And Lord, I pray that that is exactly what we do here today. God, my prayer is that we draw close to you, and that your name is lifted high, and that we learn from your word today, and we leave this place with a renewed sense of purpose, a renewed sense of urgency in living our lives faithfully for you and worshiping you through our life. Be with us that while we while we go through this this amazing story that you've shared with us in your word, the story of Joseph, help us to learn from it today, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had it up to here with life? Anybody? Maybe even had it up to here a time or two. I think we've probably all been there at one time or another. Maybe you've been disgusted with your spouse. Maybe you've been disgusted with your school. Maybe you've been disgusted with your responsibilities. Maybe here at the church. Maybe your job has been really difficult for you at times. And you've just kind of had it up to here. You feel like giving up. You feel like calling it quits. I think we've all experienced discouragement at one time or another. Amen? And we've all been there. Maybe some of you are there right now. We feel this loss of enthusiasm for the responsibilities that we have each day, and there seems to be this sense of even despair about the future. And when that happens, we have a tendency to suffer from low self-esteem. We have this vulnerability to making poor choices, poor judgments. At times, and maybe most seriously, we have this propensity to draw away from God, and even some people leave their faith and their spiritual commitment. That's why the Bible urges us to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season, we will reap a harvest. But what's the kicker there? What's that prepositional phrase? We will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And so today, as we look at the story of Joseph, I want to encourage you by seeing that Joseph didn't get discouraged, even in spite of his circumstances. It should serve as an inspiration to us to be faithful, even when we are discouraged, even when things don't go our way. Here's a man that we read about in the Bible that could have said, I've had it up to here with Egypt. I've had it up to here with people. I've even had it up to here with this God that I'm serving. But he didn't say that. He didn't quit. Instead of giving up, he just remained faithful to the very end of his life during circumstances that probably would have broken most of us. Joseph remained faithful. And I want you to look at this experience that he had that would have produced discouragement in most people. For 30 years of his life, the first 30 years of his life, he could have severely been depressed because of the roller coaster that he was on. You know, you think about everything that happened to him. He was hated by his brothers because he was his father's favorite. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. They brutalized him. They beat him. They intended to kill him. They finally sold him as a slave. And in a matter of hours, Joseph went from being a pampered son of a very wealthy father to being a lowly slave of a henchman in Egypt. Joseph didn't deserve that. But that's exactly where he was. He was an innocent 17-year-old boy, and here he was in a difficult circumstance. But you know what he did? Once he got to Egypt, he continued to work hard. Instead of becoming bitter by his circumstances, Joseph was determined to be the best slave that he could possibly be. His master, Potiphar, noticed his diligence, soon promoted him to administrative assistants. Just when it looked like things were going to turn around, it looked like his life was going to be improving, and everything was going to be smooth sailing for the rest of his life, again, Joseph has some turmoil. Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, tried to seduce him. Joseph resisted her advances, repressed his own desires, tried to avoid her, but then one day she grabs him by his coat and tried to force him to bed, and Joseph ran out of the house and said, "I cannot do this thing against my God." Again, he's in a tough circumstance because Potiphar's wife, she becomes angry because he turned her down and she falsely accused him of rape. And Joseph wound up in jail. He's thrown into prison. He's in a dungeon. There's no window. There's no facilities. There's no possible escape route. Psalm 105:18 says that they bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. You couldn't get much lower than Joseph was at this particular point. Or at least you wouldn't think. What would you expect his reaction to be? What would your reaction be? You know, you would expect him to be bitter toward God and say, "God, is this the way you're going to reward the righteous people? If this is the way you're going to reward righteous people, I don't want any part of that. God, what about those dreams that I had when I was a little boy? Where are you now?" And you would expect Joseph to maybe even withdraw from people, you know, have that mentality of hurt me once, shame on you, hurt me twice, shame on me. You know, don't open yourself up to being hurt again like that. You would expect Joseph to maybe build a shell around himself that nobody could penetrate, just kind of withdraw from everybody because he'd been hurt by so many people so many times. You would expect Joseph to have a sour disposition, kind of be angry at the world. Isn't that what most people would do in that circumstance? If you would have been able to visit Joseph in prison during that time, you would have expected a fallen countenance. You would have expected to see someone who had a defeated spirit. You know, a normal person probably in this day and age would turn to alcohol or drugs or a defiant behavior, maybe even contemplate suicide. But Joseph remained faithful, even in prison. And I want you to look at the evidences that we have in Scripture that demonstrate how remarkably faithful Joseph was even in this dire circumstance. Here's the first evidence. Joseph maintained a sense of responsibility. When he was Potiphar's slave, we read, "The Lord was with him and Potiphar made him an overseer of the house." With Joseph in charge, the Bible tells us, Potiphar did not concern himself with anything except for the food. But now he's in prison. Things have changed a little bit. His circumstances have changed. But in the latter part of verse 39, we read this. The Lord was with Joseph. It's basically the same thing it says when he was in Potiphar's house. He's in prison. The Lord was with Joseph. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. He was a model slave when he first got to Potiphar, and now he's a model prisoner. He was one of those individuals that, you know those kind of people that just have so much talent, so much sense of responsibility, that everything that they do turns out right. You know people like that? Joseph was one of those kind of people. He was successful. Everything that he tried to do, he did to the best of his ability. He was one of those people that just gobbled up responsibility and wanted even more of it. He was the kind of man that I think every leader dreams of having as a right hand, you know. He's just a good guy with a humble spirit, even while he's in prison. So that's the first evidence that he never really wavered in his faith. The second evidence was that Joseph was sensitive to other people. Let's begin by reading chapter 40 of Genesis, verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. Now, the baker was the king's chef, basically. Okay, cupbearer was the king's wine taster. In those days, what would happen a lot of times in assassination attempts is somebody was there to taste the food and somebody was there to taste the wine before the king ever tasted it, because of a lot of the assassination attempts happened through poisoning. And so there was somebody who was designated to taste the food and to drink the wine before the king got a hold of it. And if that person died, well, they knew the food or the wine was poisoned. Isn't that a wonderful job to have? You know, there wasn't a whole lot of people signing up for this job, I can guess. But anyway, here was the deal. It wasn't a very secure job, but it was someone who was very close to the king, right? He was a close confidant of the king. And for some reason, Pharaoh got put out at his chef, and he got put out at his cupbearer. And we're not really sure why. The Bible doesn't really tell us. We can speculate on some things. But they're thrown into prison. They got in trouble. And there, you can just see God working. God arranged for these people to meet Joseph, and you begin to see the wheels of God's justice starting to grind slowly. Verse 4, after they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, the dreams that people experienced in the Bible were dreams that God communicated specific messages through. These were not ordinary dreams. They were visions that were so vivid that those who received those dreams had them etched in their memory, and they were so extraordinary, you knew they were supernatural. What I'm saying is this. Don't try to interpret every dream that you have in your life as some type of message from God. If you have a dream that you're riding a horse through Walmart in a gorilla suit, do not think that that's some kind of message from God. Not that I've had that dream or anything, but I really haven't. But anyway, I'm just saying, if you did, don't try to interpret that. Verse 6, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? Now, isn't this the impressive thing about Joseph? Here's a guy, he's about 28 years old, he's unfairly imprisoned, people have given him the shaft, and he says to these two guys, hey guys, why are you so down in the dumps today? Joseph remains upbeat. He's sensitive to the needs of other people when you would expect him to have a pity party for himself. You know, you would expect someone like Joseph to say, hey, don't trouble me with your problems. I've got problems of my own. But Joseph's spirit of sensitivity was very evident toward these other people, and it's obvious, and it's an evidence of his faithfulness. Another evidence is his consistent testimony about God. Evidence number 3, his consistent testimony about God. Verse 8, they said, we both had dreams, but there's no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Notice Joseph didn't get cocky and say, tell me your dreams, I can interpret them. You know, I'm an expert. I had these dreams when I was a little kid, and dreams about my brothers, how they would bow down to me. And to, you know, he didn't tell him about the sheaves, and he didn't tell him about the stars and the moon and all that bowing down. He didn't say, hey, I know all about dreams, just tell me them. He says, dreams, interpretation of dreams belong to God. Tell them to me. Let's see if we can figure it out. Later, Jesus Christ would say this, let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify my Father who's in heaven. Don't bring attention to yourself. That's what Joseph didn't do either. He didn't bring attention to himself. Say, hey, look at me. Look what I can do. He said, hey, let's see what God can do through this. That's another evidence that he never lost faithfulness through his difficult times. The fourth evidence that we see is this: Joseph's spirituality. Now, his spirituality is very evident in prison too. When they told those dreams to Joseph, he was able to use his gifts to interpret them. Verse 9, so the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what the dream means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. Notice that Joseph had not lost his gift of interpreting dreams. He hadn't quenched that spirit, that gift, by having a poor attitude or by refusing to use it or neglecting it and walking away from God. He still had that gift that God had given him. And then verse 14, God revealed the meaning of the dream. But when all goes well with you, he had already revealed it. But in verse 14, here's what Joseph's response is. He says, when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in prison. Now, here's another evidence of his faithfulness. It's his integrity and his authenticity. All right? He told them the truth about how he felt. Get me out of this place. I don't want to be here. You know, I know some Christians who are just so pious that when they're in a difficult situation, maybe it was a situation like Joseph's in. Well, the Lord put me in prison. There must be some reason for this. I'm perfectly content. You know? If he wants me out of here, he's going to get me out of here. Joseph said, look, I'm not content at all. I want out of this place. I don't belong here. So when you get out and this dream comes to fruition and you get before the king again, tell him to release me. See, Joseph knew he had to do something. He was honest with the baker too, you know. Even though the truth wasn't pleasant. Look at verse 16. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Now Joseph instantly knew what that meant. He knew the baker was going to be held responsible, and he was going to be executed. Now, if you were Joseph, would you have told him what that dream meant? You know, we'd be really tempted, wouldn't we, to not break the bad news? You know, if I'm Joseph, I probably would have been tempted to go, yeah, you know, that's a bit of a head scratcher. I don't know. Let me think about that for 3 or 4 days, and I'll get back to you, you know. But in the meantime, don't take out any long-term life insurance policies. You know, say something like that. Yeah, but it reminds me of the woman. Maybe you heard about the woman who hired an author to write a biography of her life, and he discovered that one of her grandfathers had been executed in the electric chair in Sing Sing prison. And he wanted to write the truth in a way that would not make this event look so like such a black spot on her family tree. So he wrote her biography this way. Her grandfather occupied a chair of electricity in one of America's most noted institutions. He was very much attached to his position, literally died in the harness. You know, God put it in a nice way for them. We're tempted to do that, aren't we? We're tempted to say things in such a way. We don't want to share bad news with people. We don't want to tell people the truth, even if it's for their own good. That's kind of the society we've become these days, isn't it? We're not allowed to tell people what sin is because, well, that's, you know, that's being hateful. You're a hater. You're a bigot. You know? But the Bible's very clear that we need to preach the truth in love. There's one other characteristic about Joseph that's most impressive, I think, about his faithfulness, and that's his tenacity. He refused to quit even after another setback. You think of everything that he had been through. Verse 20. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. Okay, so now this is the third day, and this is when everything's supposed to happen, according to the dreams that Joseph had interpreted. So it's the third day, it's Pharaoh's birthday. He gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, just like Joseph said would happen, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. Now look at verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. The one shot that Joseph had of getting out and having his circumstances changed was lost. Isn't it amazing how we as people are so good at remembering offenses, but how quickly we can forget a favor? You know? It was like it never happened. Here was the guy's chance, you know. But he didn't remember Joseph in prison. In fact, chapter 41:1, the 41st chapter begins like this: when 2 full years had passed. So after that event, Joseph was in prison another 2 years. Now that would break most people, wouldn't it? Here's my shot. All right, the dream is coming to fruition. The cupbearer is going to get up there and he's going to tell Pharaoh about me in prison. I'm going to get out. 2 years later, nothing. Keep in mind, Joseph didn't have a Gideon Bible in the prison. Okay? He couldn't read ahead and say, well, you know what, it's all going to work out okay. He didn't know that he was going to be administrative assistant someday to Pharaoh. That didn't matter. For all he knew, he was going to be in prison for the rest of his life. And in spite of all of those circumstances that had been going on in Joseph's life, all of those reasons for discouragement, Joseph held on. Now, this whole time, I think he's listening. He's learning about the Egyptian culture. And when the time came for God to tap him on the shoulder, he was able to feel God's finger on his shoulder because he had remained faithful to God. Paul Harvey has a definition of success. He says, a successful person is the person who gets back up one more time, then he falls down. That's Joseph. That's Paul, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is the Living Bible. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Let's look at some examples very quickly of things we can learn from Joseph's example. These are some lessons that I think we, as Christians today, living in a fallen world, living in discouraging times, that we need to follow. Joseph's example ought to be something that inspires faithfulness in our lives in the face of discouragement. I got 3 things I want to share with you. One is this: when you're discouraged, keep performing your duty. Joseph fulfilled his assignments to the best of his ability, even though he wasn't happy. He couldn't have felt great about his circumstances. Even though he didn't fully understand why things were happening to him the way that they were happening to him. When we get discouraged, here's what we have a tendency to do. We have a temptation to pull back, withdraw from people, maybe call in sick to work, not show up, come in late, do a sloppy job, just stay in bed, go play golf, you know. But what happens when we just do those sorts of things? It compounds the problem because the next day, you still got to deal with it, you know. And then you feel guilty because you probably lied to your boss about why you didn't come to work. And you still got to deal with the problem and you're still discouraged. When you are discouraged, I encourage you to force yourself to continue to go through the motions of your responsibility even when you don't want to. Even though you don't feel like it. Don Francisco has a song that's entitled, Jesus is the Lord of the Way That I Feel. Isn't that a great title? In other words, we ought to be obedient to the Lord and allow Him to dictate our emotions, not just to do everything that we feel like doing. So even though sometimes I'm a little discouraged and don't feel like doing the things that I have to do, I go ahead and do them. Now, can I be honest with you for just a moment? I mean, I know you kind of expect that from a preacher, right? So I want to be honest with you. There are those days when I come to church, I don't feel like smiling at you. There are those days when I come to church, I don't always feel like shaking hands. I don't always feel like singing. I don't always feel like preaching. There are those days I'd like to get up here and just look back at you like you look at me sometimes. You know? See if you can reach me today. You know? But on those days that I feel like that, I still come. I force myself to sing, you know, because the Bible says, be kind to one another. Rejoice in the Lord always. And the Bible says, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And I go ahead and preach because the Bible commands me, preach when you feel like it, preach when you don't feel like it, preach in season, preach out of season. And let me tell you something, it's never failed. And when I go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do, even when I don't feel like it, it's not very long before my spirits start to pick up. Somebody says something that encourages me. We sing a song that lifts my spirits, and I start to feel better. William James once said, if you act the way you wish you felt, you'll eventually feel the way that you act. Let me repeat that. If you act the way you wish you felt, you'll eventually feel the way you act. Don't allow yourself to be controlled by your temporary feelings. Feelings, we can't control those, can we? But behavior, we can. Attitude, we can. And we Christians, you know, we ought to have a buoyant spirit about us that keeps us performing our duty with a positive attitude regardless of the circumstances. Joseph did, and I'm going to guess that most of you have not been through anything near what Joseph did. We can too. Here's the second lesson that we can learn from Joseph's example. When you're discouraged, look for somebody else to encourage. Joseph found two other prisoners and asked them, "What's wrong with you?" And he listened to them. And he tried to minister to them. And the best way, I think, for us to overcome discouragement in our lives is to minister to somebody else. You know, we get down sometimes and we think, oh, someone ought to show me pity. Someone ought to show me some attention. Someone needs to nurse us. We say, well, I'm in no shape to help anybody else. I need somebody helping me. And we have this pity party. But it's amazing how soon you begin to feel better if you get your mind off your own problems and focus on somebody else. Now, I did not just tick those guys off. They're going to go watch their granddaughter get baptized. So praise God for that, right? Yeah. I didn't want people to think I made you mad. All right. Dr. William Steigen was suffering from severe depression for years. And a wise counselor told him to find somebody else to go and encourage. And so the doctor sat down and he forced himself to write a thank you note to an old teacher that he remembered that gave him a love for literature. And he wrote just a thank you note saying, "Thank you that you taught me to appreciate poetry and prose." A few days later, he received a note from her that said, "Dear Willie, when I read your letter, I was blinded with tears, for I remember you as a little fellow in class, and it warmed my old heart. I've taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first letter of thanks that I've ever received from a student. I shall cherish it till the day I die." Now, Steigen was so moved by that note that the teacher wrote him back that he remembered someone else that he needed to thank, and he wrote another note of encouragement. And within a few days, he had written 500 notes of encouragement and gratitude, and it completely healed his discouraged spirit. Are you a little discouraged today? Let me ask you something. Do you want to get better? If you really want to get better, I encourage you to look for somebody to encourage. And don't take this the wrong way, but quit feeling sorry for yourself. Take that note to somebody that needs it. Send it to somebody who really could use it, someone who's in need. Meet their need. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. God comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. God softens us, I think, in our trouble so that we're sensitive to other people. And we can say, "Hey, I understand how you feel. It's going to be better. Trust me." One other lesson, and maybe the most important lesson, is this. When you're discouraged, put your trust totally in God. Joseph did. In spite of his circumstances, he believed that God was going to work everything out. God was going to show himself. He was going to come through. The cupbearer let him down. Potiphar let him down. His brothers let him down. His dad had let him down, but God was always there, somehow working it through, working it out. And I'm sure Joseph was sitting there thinking, "You know, God's timing is very difficult to understand. God, your methods are really different than anything that I imagined." Yet somehow he felt, whether he was in Potiphar's mansion or whether he was in a dungeon in prison, God was going to work everything together for his good and for God's glory. That's a test of our commitment too. Are we going to be faithful to God even when life doesn't make sense? Little boy had a keen mind, but he had a terrible birthmark on his face. And as he was a really young boy, his mother tried to encourage him and build up his self-esteem as high as she possibly could. But there came that day when he went off to school. It was the first grade, and it was the first day of the first grade, and the mother's fears were realized when the little boy came home, came through the door bursting in tears and said, "Mom, all the other kids made fun of my birthmark. I'm not going to go back to school. I can't go back." And his mother said, "Son, you've got to go back. You've got to learn that's your responsibility. Years later, when Dr. Charles Eliot resigned as the president of Harvard University, he said that all the education he had and all the experiences that he had had not equaled the one thing that his mother taught him when he was 6 years old, when she said, "Son, there are some things you cannot change. There's no use crying. There's no use griping. There's no use complaining. You can't change them. You have to accept them and go on." There are some circumstances of life, as badly as we would like to, we cannot go back and erase. And usually the first thing that we say when life gets difficult is, "God, why? Why me? Why now? Why this?" And it's natural for us to ask this question. But we need to graduate beyond that question. Some of you, a month later, 2 months later, 2 years later, you're still shaking your fist perhaps at God, saying, "Why, God?" You need to move on to the next question. It's okay to say, "Why, God?" for a little while, I think. But then you move on to the next question. "What now, God? What do you want me to do now? Now that this has happened, what do you want me to do?" Job said, "Even if God slays me, I still trust him." You know, Joseph had to ask why, but then he went back to work and said, "What now, God? What do you want me to do?" He believed that somehow, some way, God was going to work it all out. And there are some things that we'll never be able to change. There are some times when we have to say, "I'll do everything I can, but the rest, it's in God's hands now." Hebrews 12:11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." In God's time, he makes all things work together for our good. Sometimes that happens on this side of heaven. Sometimes that might not happen till the other side. But are we going to be like Joseph and trust him through all of it? Are we going to be like Job and say, "Even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him"? There might be some of you here today who have never put your trust in him in the first place. You've never confessed him as the Christ and repented of your sins and been baptized into him. We want to give you the chance to do that. Maybe there are some of you that are just struggling with some doubts and some discouragement today, and maybe you just need to spend some time during this invitation song and say, "What now, God? What do you want from me?" I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and if you have a decision you need to make, maybe you need prayer, you want to meet us afterwards in the prayer room, we'll have people ready to pray with you. Whatever your need might be this morning, we encourage you to come during this song of decision. Let's bow.